Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that we do twice a week for needlework artists. Last one of the year. Last one. Yep.
Last one. Oh.
This will be the last new show Wednesday or Sunday until January 5. Wednesday, January 5, we're going to resume. So last podcast today. I'll probably do some Sunday encore things through the holidays, but this is it. Going to take a break. Need a break. I say going to take a break, but we're recording on Monday, and then we have four podcasts to record this week with guests. So.
Yeah. You're going to take a break after we do those.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Last one for the so there won't be any Wednesday shows. Not going to do it. There's no encore shows to do for Wednesdays. So there won't be any Wednesday shows until the 5th, and I'll do encore shows on Sundays, two or three Sundays, whatever it is. And then tonight, we're not going to do a Thread Talk with Kathy Ray. We're going to do just Stitch and Chat tonight. So Jennifer, Beth, and I just going to yak for an hour and wish everybody a Merry Christmas and move on. So
Right.
Join us at 8 o'clock. I downplay that like it's not a big deal, but no, it's always fun, so join us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always have a good time.
Yeah.
Always have fun.
So we do.
And then Kathy Ray is going to come back in January then.
Yes, third Wednesday in January, we'll have Thread Talk with Kathy back in action.
Yep. Excellent.
Now, you had found this one, Hancock's of Paducah. I did some business with them. I bought some things from them. That's a good shop. In Paducah, Kentucky, you found this with the tornado thing.
Yes, actually, I asked Nanette, who is a guest we have for. She follows us on Wednesday night a lot, and she mentioned that she was making a quilt that Hancock's of Paducah is going to be collecting quilts for victims of the tornadoes, and I thought, well, that's a great outreach. And for me, I guess I don't quilt. So I appreciate when I receive one. When my son Sam was sick, we received several quilts from different organizations, and I still have them and we cherish them because we knew they were made with love and prayers for when my son was sick. So if you're a person who quilts, who does that kind of needlework, I know that they are appreciated, especially in a time when you've lost, and these people lost everything.
Yeah.
It's not just like the roof is gone, you've got water damage. It's like when you look at the devastation, there is nothing there. They've lost everything. And quilts are so comforting. There's something about them. You know, they don't just provide physical warmth. They provide emotional warmth. There's just something about them, knowing they're handmade. So I guess you're going to put in the description box about where they can send them.
Right. Yeah, I will. So it's Hancock's, Hancock apostrophe S, Hancock's of Paducah, 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 Kentucky. And you send to Attention Tornado Relief, and their address is 3841 Hinkleville, Hinkleville Road, Hinkleville Road, Paducah, Kentucky, 42001. And all the information is laid out on their website, which is Hancock's, Hancock's-Paducah.com. So, it's all laid out there. But, yeah, if you are of a mind, you have some in the closet that never get used, or are just about finished with one, or just want to make one, whatever, quilts and blankets they're taking of all kinds to help people. So,
right.
It's a great thing.
You know, it is. And it's a great way to, you know, during the season, you know, like Christmas holiday season, it's nice to share that sort of handmade gift, or, you know, it's kind of a gift of love. There's nothing like them when you receive one, so.
Yeah.
For those who wonder, you know, I have received them because of my son, and I appreciated them. I greatly appreciated them. They convey more than just a blanket. They convey a love that you just can't describe. So.
Yeah. So yeah, there's an opportunity there to help out, and you're right, boy. You know, you see tornadoes. We both live in the Midwest, so tornadoes are just part of life. And now I've moved basically to the northern edge of Tornado Alley. So, but when we have tornadoes, when they touch down, a lot of times they don't touch down, or if they do, it's in open fields or whatever, because there's, you know, just miles and miles of corn and soybean fields where we live. And so if they touch down, you know, they'll tear up some corn or something. But when they hit a town or a city, you know, they'll cut a swath, and it's devastating for those people. No question about it. But this one that hit in Kentucky just took out everything. I mean, just, oh, geez. Well, I mean, most people have seen the pictures, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But that's a tornado beyond normal tornado, if there is a normal one. And, you know, to just see everything, like you said, everything is everywhere and none of it, it's all destroyed. And
And supposedly there one went through where I currently live before we moved to this house, and it took out the roofs. I don't think anyone totally lost their house on this little road. But if you lose your roof, I mean, some of the, you'll get some water damage, but you're not going to lose every single thing. It looked like everything was gone, just everything.
Yeah.
In these spots, and it's just it's devastating.
Yeah.
People. So,
yeah. Well, that night, living here southwest of St. Louis, the siren, the tornado siren went off three times that night within like 2 hours. So we spent most of the evening in the basement, and the rain and wind without the tornadoes was, I've only experienced that a couple of times. And it's frightening stuff. And then when those tornadoes form and touch down like that, they do damage like nobody can imagine. I'm not a meteorologist, so I don't know how they compare to a hurricane. I mean, hurricanes do that kind of damage too, but structures in hurricane areas anymore, a lot of them built to withstand it. And we just don't build buildings to withstand tornadoes because they're so random that the investment is not worth it. Where like a hurricane season, you know, that if you live in those areas, the chances are pretty good that you're going to at least see the fringe of one. But for us, it just isn't something we do. So when one hits, especially like that, holy smokes, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. So there we have that. Paducah's Hancock's of Paducah is the shop, and help out there if you can. Yep.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yep. So, okay, what is this? Starting a new project you sent me, Lavender and Lace, Angel of Love. Didn't you have enough projects started?
Well, yes, actually, I have more than enough projects started.
This is your mother speaking. Don't you have enough projects started?
Yeah, and thank goodness my mother didn't, you know, see that I started a new project. Anyway, we decorated for Christmas at my house over Thanksgiving, and behind my tree there's a wall. It's between our front door and the bay window, and we hang a picture there. There's a nail, and so I always change it out and put up a Christmas decoration picture. And the one I have is small. It's maybe 10 by 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make much of an impact. And I was looking at that and I'm thinking, I really ought to stitch something larger to go there. Now, I could have pulled one of my two Christmas whips that I do have out, which are both larger.
I'm not commenting. I'm just listening. I just want that noted for the record. I'm not commenting on, yeah.
Yeah. One is a cross stitch piece, an older design, and it has, but I started it in the wrong orientation. So it means I have to rip to start.
And I hate when that happens. Hate when that happens.
I know. I know. And it's a good chunk. So
of course it is.
Of course, you know. And yeah. then the other piece is a needlepoint piece that was an old group correspondence course, and it was Florentine ornament. But again, I don't like the colors I started with. So I think I'd have to go and rip to start again. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Let's just start something new. So, why not? So this Angel of Love is an old lavender and lace piece. For those who don't know, it's the one with the bodice full of beads. It's just the whole bottom section is pretty much beaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it, the piece, I think since before Max and I got married, because I was looking at the little tag on it and it says from Gingers. Well, Gingers is in Austin. I think Gingers was in Austin, Texas, if I'm not mistaken. It's was an old needlework store out there.
So that's a couple of days ago for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Three days. We'll go with three days.
I haven't had it that long. And I thought, I have all the threads. I have the beads. My linen, for some reason, had holes. Well, it was Lugana, had a holes in it. And I was like, oh, shoot. So I had to get a new piece of fabric for it. But I thought, no, I'm going to start this. This is the oldest piece I actually have and I still wanted to stitch it. I have gone through my stash a few times and said, okay, I really am never going to stitch this. And I've gotten rid of things. But this one I always kept because I always loved it. And mm-hmm. I thought, okay, I'm not getting any younger. I might as well stitch this. Now, I know it'll take me 2 or 3 years to complete. I know it will take me a long time. But I needed something Christmassy to do. And so I thought, oh, that angel, she'll be nice behind the Christmas tree.
Well, how festive of you.
How crazy of me is really the truth.
I'm just going to use festive this time.
Festive. Yeah. Yes. Well, I haven't done a lot of lavender and lace pieces. Mirabilia. I think I equate the two. Isn't the same? One was a mother and one was the daughter.
Yeah, I think there's some relation there. I don't follow that world, but I think there is some relation or tie-in. Yeah, I agree.
Right. And I've only I've only done one other of their type of pieces. But I like them. I think they're, especially some of the older ones, I think are especially beautiful. She's got a couple of old Santas that are very, I think they were different. They were different than anything else on the market at the time. And so I love her designs, those older ones that I still have kept. I've got the patterns for them. And I thought, you know, now's the time to start stitching these, and so I can have them up so I can actually enjoy them on my walls instead of them just being patterns in my stash.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll look forward to that.
Well, it's on my WIPGO board, so we'll see it more often.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm already changing my WIPGO board.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Kathy Andrews, the Unbroken Thread, when she was teaching at EGA, I sat in on the class she was teaching, the King's Pineapple. And so she was kind enough to send to you and me the King's Pineapple so we could do it.
Right.
So I'm putting that, I'm not sure what I'm going to pull off my WIPGO board, but I'm putting that on in place of something. And adding that to the activities for next year. So.
Right. And so have you ever done crewel work before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Actually, Marga's stocking is crewel work, yes. It's a kit, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm not just some rookie, you know.
Well, I didn't know because I knew you started with needlepoint.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you'd ever done crewel because I started by doing crewel.
Oh, okay.
And well, I started by doing those linen cloth scarf things, But that was the next thing I did was crewel, because those were easy to get and and cheap, you know, relatively speaking. So I didn't.
and back in those days, it's important, cheap.
Yep. Well, especially when I was a kid, you know, working on things. My mom wasn't going to spend a ton of money for me to stitch something. She was like, okay, you have an allowance. Spend your allowance.
Go away from me. I'm trying to put food on the table. Go away from me.
That's right. You know, do you want to eat?
Yeah, or stitch some stupid, cruel thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to put it on the slate frame.
I'm going. Yeah. Okay. So that's the thing, because you can't just take it and stitch it. Okay. I got to. I can't just do that. So I'm going to put it on a slate frame to force myself to learn how to mount a piece on a slate frame. Okay, now I have a slate frame, a small one, that I got from a needle in a haystack, because I wrote to Kathy Ray one time and said, I'd like a slate frame. I have no idea. You know, send me one. I paid for it. People who think we get all this stuff for free, wrong. We pay full price, not wholesale. We pay like everybody else. So I said, send me, a typical size, whatever typical is. So she says, this is the size we sell the most. And she sent it to me, and it's been sitting here. And so I thought, well, I'm putting this King's Pineapple on the slate frame. Well, it's not big enough. Of course.
The slate frame isn't?
No.
Oh,
no, it's not big enough. And so, okay, well, that's fine. Then that made me actually do some research on slate frames. And I told Kathy, I'm going to put this on a slate frame. And so she sent me Sarah Humphrey. Is it Humphrey? Nah, forget. Sent me a link to a video for how to do that, because I've never done it. And so, okay, fine. So then this past weekend, then I figured out what size I needed, watched the video, figure out what size I needed. And so I've ordered that from Needle in a Haystack, from Kathy, the frame. And then I ordered the cording to, because she has it all there on the page, the cording to lace the sides. So
you need cording?
Hmm?
Do you need cording to lace the sides?
Whatever string it is, I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not, I guess cording is probably not the right word. Whatever nylon or cotton string, whatever it is, she has some listed there. I'm not going to research it. Just send me what you recommend.
Okay.
She obviously knows what she's doing, so I'm just if Kathy says I do, you know.
Yes.
So that's coming. So I'll be watching the video a couple more times. I was hesitant to use the one that she sent the first time, because it just looked like a daunting task to get that mounted on there. And I commented to Kathy Andrews that it did, and she said, no, it's not at all. It's not that big of a deal, and you really can't screw it up. Oh, okay. Then that gives me a shot, a legitimate shot.
Right.
And it doesn't look all that tough to do. But then the King's Pineapple just was too big for the frame I have. So that's coming. And that, I thought, if we're going to do this thing, I'm going to learn something new. So, and I don't have any scroll bars and I really don't want to use Q-snaps. I can't get excited about those. I used to love those and I just can't get excited about them. So anyway, going to put it on a slate frame and see how that goes. Yeah.
I've never used a slate frame. The closest I've ever come was, using a set of Evertights, kind of like one, to lace up Gay-Ann Rogers' piece, the Drawn Thread Sampler. And I remember we had to keep tightening it. You'd loosen it up when you stop stitching, and then you'd have to re-tighten it up, before you started again.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. And I don't remember it being that hard to set up. I mean, it was kind of like, okay, this is a kind of a pain. It wasn't difficult. So I'm guessing that the slate frame would be similar.
Yeah, so. it's you have to sew because it comes with that that heavy webbing on the top and bottom. So you have to sew your fabric to that, and then you lace on the sides, and the laces go around the side bars, the ones with all the holes in them,
right?
To pull it tight left and right, and then you the up and down, you just basically use muscle strength to pull it tight and then shove pegs and holes till you get it as tight as you can. It's going to be interesting because the little voice in the back of my head is saying to me, this has potential to be to get the ground cloth so tight that it makes it puts the stitching at a different level of pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm going to say I want to do everything on a slate frame. I don't know.
I think some people like it that much that that's all they use, right?
Yeah.
And you like your stuff drum tight. And
I do.
I don't stitch with my stuff that tight. I realize that because you guys, everyone says, oh, and it needs to be like this drum tight. And I'm like, I never get anything that tight. I never have. It's always got a little bit of give in it for me when I stitch. And I'm comfortable that way. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I like them. I like them as tight as they can get. Like even my sampler on the Millennium frame is, I crank that thing. I like it just as tight as I can get. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I like about the Adjusta-Frames.
Right.
Is you can get things so tight, but even them, I get tight enough that you can see that I'm stressing the wood, but I don't care. I don't care. I don't want it moving. Yeah. So.
Right. And on your Millennium frame, have you ever had it gotten it so tight that it's bowing it? Because it's pretty, you've got a long scroll bars, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Let me see. It's sitting right here. Let me just see if it's bowed. Oops. Might be.
Really?
Yeah, it might be.
I don't know why I was listening to someone.
No.
I don't think you want it that tight. I think you're going to bend your... I mean, because eventually wood will stay permanently bent like that. So I think you're going to want to release it in between stitching sessions.
Just a moment while I release the tension. Yeah, let me just ease up on the ball planes here. Hang on. Yeah, that looks like there. I think maybe that might be better. Yeah. We'll just let it yeah.
Oh my, Gary.
Now I gotta take a look at that. I don't really want to bend those cross pieces.
No. And that's what I was asking, because when you said you actually put tension on the Adjusta frames, I thought, I wonder if he's bowing his Millennium frame.
Yeah.
And those, you know, that would be bad. I mean, I know that's one of the things. When I work on a long, big piece, even if it's, I don't have my tension nearly as tight as you do yours, I do release that when I know I'm not going to be stitching on it for a while. Like, I'll leave it maybe during the day if I'm going to stitch on it for a couple of days. But then after I'm done, like, it's going to go down to the basement and I'm going to pull up another project. I release the tension on the fabric every time.
Pardon me just a second while I check and see if I've actually bowed it or if it's an optical illusion here. No, I'm good. I'm good.
Oh, good. Good. Good.
But I'm good because I released it. All right, now, okay, that's a lesson. I'm going to start releasing it every time I stop stitching.
Yeah.
Because I just leave it. Yeah, I'll be taking the tension off of that thing. Oops.
Oops. Well, and I know, like, we were talking about you stitching portefet.
Right.
Using a hoop.
Right.
No. I would guess you're going to take it out of the hoop.
Oh, I always do that. Yeah, because I hate those hoop marks. Yeah.
Right. and the Sycamore Seed Pod is definitely putting, I've got hoop marks all over. It's already, and I take it out every single time.
Yeah.
So it's getting them. But, so that's why I'm surprised you don't release the tension on your frame, your scroll frame.
I will be.
Okie dokie.
I mean, I've released the tension when I knew I wasn't going to stitch, but if it, you know, day to day, and a lot of times 2 or 3 days will go by and I don't get to work on it, I've been keeping the tension on there, and no, I won't be doing that anymore.
I'll be
loosening. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good.
But yeah, hoops. Yeah. Hoops. I always take it out. Always.
Right.
Because yeah, because those hoop marks, once you get them, it's like they never go away. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping Gene Lee gets the extra threads I need for Portofet so I can start that, because you've been poking away at yours, and that's really beautiful.
It is. It's a nice, and the Sycamore Seed Pod, I didn't think I was going to like stitching on that fine of fabric, but it's nice. It's nice to stitch on, even on the 53 count.
Yeah.
5363, I think it is.
Yeah. But. So, all right, so that, because I sent you one of my multiple pairs of 4X or 5X glasses so mm-hmm. you could see. Are you using them, or have they not worked out?
They did not work out.
Okay.
I put them on. I have bifocals, so I put them on the edge of my nose with my bifocals, and I was like, no, I can't see a thing.
I can't see
anything. And so I took them off, and I have some 3.25, and at first I couldn't see the fabric, the linen, to stitch with that. So I was taking off my glasses, putting on the fives, and trying to find the right spot, and I don't know, manipulating glasses. But finally, I realized what the problem was. It was lighting. I have two lights, and I shine them directly on the fabric, and then I pull that hoop close to my face. And I stitch that way, and it works.
So two lights.
I have two lights, one on either side. I don't have a magnifying light.
Okay.
I don't have any of those. I just have, I have a lamp that was like a floor lamp that we use in the living room. And we, Max said, okay, this is the brightest bulb you can put in this, this without blowing a fuse. And I was like, okay. And then the other ones, I can't think of the name. A not light with the LED lights. And the head swivels. And so I just swivel that so it's pointing in the right direction. And that works. And I can see the threads perfectly now.
Okay. Because, you know, that it's interesting that you say that, because, I mean, Mary Corbett and many others will say that the first step is good lighting.
Mm-hmm.
That magnifying is really the secondary factor. That with for most things, good lighting. And
yeah.
So once you put two lights on there on that 53, then
right,
that changed the game. Interesting.
It did. And then the strongest magnifiers that I had, and I can see it now. I do it first thing in the morning. I don't do it when I'm tired. When my eye, you know, at the end of the day, because I think that would make, I think that was what I was trying to do, was work on it in the evening.
Oh.
It's like, I could not focus.
Okay.
Tired eyes makes a difference too.
Yeah.
I think for me.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, it's beautiful. What you stitched is really looks great. So, and that's that Surfine stuff, right?
Right. And I'm going to suggest, if people are having a hard time with the Spa Surfine, I think Tudor silk is the same.
I'm going with Surfine stuff. But if you want to get fancy and go Spa Surfine, then you just go right ahead.
Okay. You know, with my pinky up.
Yes, exactly.
But I know they're having problems getting the tubes. I think it's, you know, moving from the big, whatever they get it at Access Commodities, moving it to the smaller spools. But I think Tudor silk is the right size. And I really think that whole piece would be beautiful in a single color.
Mm, Mm-hmm.
You know, your favorite, like a red would be pretty, or a blue, and just do the whole thing in a massive amount. Because it, I mean, with the Swatch Surfing, that's a, there's a lot on those spools, and you need multiples. I want to say four of a red and one of a purple and three of a gold. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how much thread are we using on this thing? But I forgot, it's a blanket. It's not a, even on the 53, it's a huge piece.
Yeah, it's still big. Yeah, it's a big piece. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's so far it looks great. Yep. Yeah, but yeah, that's what Jean said to me when she said why she hadn't shipped the color, the threads, was it wasn't the threads, it was the spools. They couldn't get the darn spools to put thread on.
So, right.
Jeez, you know, it's always something these days.
Right.
You know, and,
right.
And always outside of everyone's control, but you know, but the manufacturer of the item. Yeah, and right. Even they can't. You know, I'm sure it's a matter of we either can't get people to run the molding machines, or we can't get the plastic pellets to make the plastic, or you know, you can
right.
Just, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. Or stuck on a ship somewhere.
Right, right. Yeah.
Who yeah. Knows? Who knows?
Yeah, there's two train cars worth of spools on a ship off the coast of California. Yeah.
Right, right.
When they arrive, the world will open. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's got to – can you just imagine how many businesses across the country are so frustrated, and they'll see a news clip with those ships sitting out there, and they know the stuff they need is sitting on one of those ships, and they can't get it. Oh,
right.
It's just got to be maddening.
Right,
just,
right.
Yeah, it's here, but it isn't here, and it's not going to be here. Yeah.
Right. And nothing is more – what makes me sad is the people – the shop owners – that are, and it doesn't matter what it is, you know, you go to a shop, a store, and the shelf is empty. You know, there's something, and I hear people yell at the poor people working at the store.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, it's not their fault, people. You cannot yell.
Right.
You know, it's a supply chain issue. You can get mad, you know, but, you know, getting mad at this poor person who happens to be working today, you know.
Yep. No, nah, they got no say, you know, and every no. Retailer and every market is checking mm-hmm. on pending orders daily. You know they are. They want their stuff because
oh, yeah.
they have
yeah.
customers who want to buy it, but there's nothing they can do.
No.
You know?
No.
And they aren't making it up. I mean, they literally just can't get the stuff.
Right.
You know, you go to a grocery store these days and there's these big gaps in the shelf. Same thing for needlework stores, you know? Well, we can't get it. It's not here. Can't get it. Yeah.
Right. Right. And yeah. And at least someone has said, you know, no one is dying because we don't have
right.
Our Swatch Surfing. You know, find something else to stitch on.
Yep. Well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And even with if I don't live close to a shop, I know you live closer to a couple, but if I didn't have it, I think I would go and see if I could find if the Tudor silk was available. I think there's something else that's that fine too, besides the Swatch Surfing. But I know Tudor silk is, and see if I could substitute something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you didn't want to do it exactly that way and you really felt like you had to start.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
well, that's, you know, that's just it. That was, you know, when Gene wrote and said, hey, I can't get the threads, it's like, okay, it's not like I don't have eight other things laying here on the table that I could be working on, so I'll be fine.
Right.
It's not, you know, for crying out loud. Yeah, it's, I don't know too many people who are down to their, you know, if they don't have that project, they got nothing. Usually everybody has at least one other thing, so.
Right.
Yeah, I'm fine. Trust me, I'm fine.
Right.
Yep. So I had an experience, you know, go back to my studio. I have that table that I keep free so I can wheel it into place and use it and have a big surface that I don't have to clear off before I use it. And so a friend was wondering about what thread count of linen to use with a wool thread. And I thought, you know, I think it's about 28, but let me haul out my banding sampler, which is 28 count linen, and I had some of the wool thread. Let me give it a try. And it was, I have my working table where I have my stitching stuff that I cleaned off for my video and that now I would have to clean off again. and I thought, doggone it, you know, I just want to do a quick test. You idiot, this is what this table is for. And so I wheeled the table over, which I have to proudly say was completely void of anything. It was a completely clean surface.
Bravo, bravo.
And, thank you very much. And I got out my fanny stand hoop thing and cranked the table up because it's adjustable height, cranked it up, and I stood there and loaded up that hoop and did this test for this friend just standing at the table. Because I, you know, it was one of those where I was going to make like 15 or so, 16 stitches, make a little block so I could take a picture and send it to her so she could see. You know, I was not going to make a big production out of this thing.
Right, right.
And I'm standing there, I'm thinking, wait a minute, wait a minute. Here's another use for this adjustable height table. I can set up something, and we were talking about this beforehand. As you suggested, I could just get up from my chair when I need to get up from staring at a computer, walk over and stand at right. the table and stitch a length of thread and then go back to my daily work.
Right. And that would be so, I mean, I hate to say it, but it would be so healthy. There's, I get after my boys especially who are spending way too much time with their schoolwork in front of a computer, sitting or standing or just staring there. It just to get up, move in a different position.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can stand and do that, that's fabulous. And I think it would give your mind a rest too.
Mm-hmm.
And your eyes, something else to look at besides that computer screen. I think that's a great idea. And something that's easy that, you know, it's not going to require that you figure out, oh golly, what thread color am I on? The band sampler is the perfect because you already know what color you're using.
Right, right.
It's probably you're doing a lot of repeat patterns. So as long as you've got that set up to go on a repeat, you know, so you stitch one length of thread or maybe you only have 5 minutes, you stitch for 5 minutes and you're going to make huge progress if you did that.
Yep. Well, I think I'm going to give that a try because also, you know, my mission to keep that tabletop clean, if all I have on there is the fanny stand and, you know, a pair of scissors, that's easily moved.
Right.
So, I think there's yet another use here for this table. I'm kind of semi-excited. So,
yeah, I think that'll be great. I think that's a great idea. And I was kind of jealous because I was thinking, is there any spot that I could, you know, because there are times where you just have a few minutes and you're like, okay, do I go sit down for a few minutes and sit and stitch?
Yep.
Well, you know, I don't know if I have that kind of time, but if it was right there, you know, just pick up the needle, you know, uncover your work, pick it up, do a few stitches and move on.
Yep.
That's great. I think that's fabulous. Yep.
And, you know, and it reminds me, it's probably been 2 years now, there was a lady in Texas that we did a show with who does stand-up stitching, and she has it on her dining room table. And so, if, like, say, for instance, she's cooking and something needs to come to a boil, she'll walk into the dining room and stand there and put in a few stitches and then go back. Or if she's passing through and has a couple minutes, she'll just stop and stitch. And she encouraged me to do that, and I was always going to do the stand-up thing, but there was never a convenient way to do it. It was
right.
It was going to be another project. And so now it's very convenient for me. So, I wish I could remember her name. Of course, we weren't going to talk about this, so I didn't look up her name. But anyway, so she just had it. I thought she had it knocked. I mean, it was right there. It was from the description she had, it was a place where she passes by all the time. So, you know, in and out of the house and doing things. So But by golly, I think this is worth a try here. Yeah.
I think so. And it'd be, I know Gayan Rogers suggested at one time, she says, okay, you think that just by doing that, just by stitching 2 minutes or 5 minutes or one length of thread, you're not making any progress. She said, take a picture one day that they start this project on, or you say Sunday. Sunday's generally a good day to start something like that. And then the following Sunday, take another picture and compare those two photos.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be amazed by how much you get done when you just take those couple of minutes every day.
Yeah.
To work on something. It really allows you to see how much just a little time gets you when you're stitching.
Yeah. Well, I've got to give this a try because I really would like, I mean, this banding thing, well, it was my travel project, and these days there's no travel. And
right.
it looks like if I make one business trip next year, I'll be surprised. So now this thing is sitting, not getting worked on. So this is a simple, because you know, I thought about taking it downstairs when Mark and I we record Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. We like to watch those two every day, and so that's one of our things in the evening is to sit down and watch those two shows recorded, so we can fly through the commercials. But
right, right.
but I've thought about taking it downstairs, but then I can just see if I do that, I pretty much then end up building a little nest down there, and that's what this room is for. So,
right.
I just didn't want to do that, but yeah, I think so. I think this is worth a try. Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, and I have a question. Okay. So we're taking a break from recording for a couple weeks at least. So,
right.
What are you going to do to kind of recharge your creative battery over that time?
Well, the first thing will be to actually stitch. You know, that.
Stitch?
Because you know, a lot of my free time, and that's in gigantic air quotes, is consumed hunting down people to do shows with and doing research and, you know, setting those up. I mean, it takes quite a bit of time. So, like, for instance, Sunday, I had football on, and I was it was an opportunity to stitch, but I was hunting for new people to interview. Okay. And while the football game's on, you know, in commercials, I'd hunt. And then one of the people that were recording this week, I was doing research for them. And so it takes up time, which I'm not complaining. I enjoy doing it. And really, I mean, we have a great time interviewing these people. So there's no complaint there whatsoever. But it does, you know, there's the stitching and I can't really get to it. So I'm going to do stitching. I've got a list of movies that I'm going to watch and I'm going to do stitching. And the fact that now we'll have several recorded ahead of time, so there won't be any pressure to find people to get, you know, to fill those Sundays in January. So there'll be a time to just not have to do it. And
right.
So that, you know, that'll be helpful too. Yeah.
Right. I was just wondering, because it seems like everybody needs to refill that bucket, that creative bucket. And I was just wondering what you were doing to fill that, because it seemed like you've been awfully busy. You've got, you know, your day job, the magazine,
right.
You're prepping for doing the sampler magazine. And then I know how much time the podcast takes.
Right.
And I was just wondering, I was like, okay, one of these days, he needs something just to kind of, to refill that bucket, I feel like. And
yeah.
I think if you don't, then I think the other areas suffer. The podcast, I don't know your technical magazine, but even preparing for the sampler magazine, because you need to fill it somehow, you know.
Right.
Fill that creativity.
Yeah, well, that was one. I was the one that canceled the Thread Talk tonight. Wrote to Kathy and asked her if she'd mind if we just moved it to January, because mentally, yeah, I need a break. And when you have a guest, you know, there's a certain amount of preparation that has to go on, that if it's just you and me and Jennifer, we don't have to do that. And so she was kind enough to say, yeah, no problem. She actually said, I understand. But yeah, you just get mentally tired. And yeah, and then things start to suffer and all the way around. And so, yeah, this is, need a break from all of this, the constant preparation. Cause it's, you know, to do three shows a week takes, I mean, even to do these Wednesday shows, like you send me some things to talk about, you know, I have some things to talk about, and then you got to put together a little list and then record it, and then got to fix up the file and make a video, and you know, it all takes time.
Right.
And upload it and then post it, and you know, all of that takes time. And again, not complaining. I thoroughly enjoy doing it, and people appreciate it, so more than willing to do it. But there reaches a point when, especially three shows a week, where it needs to stop.
Right. Okay. Time out. You need a little time, a little breathing space.
Yeah.
And I know I appreciate being part of the team. It's a lot of fun. But I appreciate it. I realized I was going through some of the floss tubes I watch. You know, Fiber Talk has been consistently doing at least one show, and always, and generally more, doing three shows or more a week for years now.
Yeah.
And that's a high level of commitment. And I appreciate it. You know, I've learned so much from listening to Fiber Talk and being a part of Fiber Talk, and I just appreciate it. I think it's a great service. We, you know, you especially do. I think I just kind of tag along for the ride, but it you know, you offer so much to the community, and I just wanted to kind of thank you on air.
Okay.
You do a whole, you do a huge amount, and I know we appreciate it. I hear it from other Stitchers that I've talked to that they appreciate what Fiber Talk has done over the years, and really for the needlework community. And just thank you for the time you put into this.
Oh well, thanks. I thoroughly enjoy it. You know, I figured by now, because what was it? Cindy said we're coming up on 5 years. She did the research. January would be the fifth year.
Wow.
Which I've lost track. You know, whatever. We should probably do something to acknowledge that, but
yes,
it's just fun. I enjoy it. I don't right now. I just need a mental break, but it's not like I get tired of doing it, or I'm sitting there going, "Oh, I got to do this interview this afternoon." There goes another couple hours. No, it's so much fun to talk to these people. It's like Cynthia Jackson Sunday. Holy smokes!
Yeah.
What a treat to talk to her, and the stuff we learned. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just so much fun, and so yeah, I you know, and there's always somebody different to talk to with something different to say, and yeah, it's a great time. It really is. So
yeah. And I do think we ought to do something for the fifth, you know, for 5 years being doing Fiber Talk.
Well,
to think of something.
Yeah, we'll have to think of something. I'm terrible at doing that stuff, so it'll probably come and go, but we should really think about it. Because, yeah, sometime next year will be our 500th show, too. Yeah. Something will come along, or nothing. I don't know.
We'll have to put our minds, collective minds together. Get Cindy and Jennifer and I.
Yeah.
We'll start plotting something.
Okay. All right. But it's, yeah, and that is a part of it. I've wondered about keeping the Wednesday live shows going, because that's a commitment of, a chunk of the afternoon for preparation, and then the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, maybe we should cut back on those or eliminate them altogether. But I heard from somebody the other day telling her life story, and I showed it to Marga, and I said, you know, I was thinking about stopping these Wednesday shows, but there's no way, because it was for this lady, you could tell it was a high point in the week for her, and she enjoyed it. And the next time I think about stopping Wednesday shows, live shows, she's going to be in my mind. Nope, we're not stopping it, because for her, that one person, it's worth it. And you take with Kathy Andrews talking about her breast cancer. How many people have we heard from or seen make posts where that show had an impact in what is, as one person said, validating her feelings, or people who are currently fighting the battle and now have, here's how one person got through it.
And that was such a moving show. It really was. And I felt like it had so much to offer. You know, we're still going through a tough time with the pandemic. We lost my husband lost two coworkers, people he knew from work from COVID. It hits you. And so you've got these raw emotions going on. How do you deal with them? And seeing what Kathy Andrews did with her needlework was inspiring.
Yeah.
You know, because she didn't just feel her feelings. She said, I'm going to make them, put them out there. I'm going to do something with them. And it was very moving, moving.
But yeah, that's, you know, so those kinds of things, the Wednesday show, that's the only way you can do that kind of thing. And it takes prep, it took prep on Kathy's part to send all the things so that we could do them. She made the video for us. So on and so forth. But, you know, when you hit, it helps people. Even if it's just one person, it's so worth it. So,
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. So they will continue.
All right.
Darn it. we have so much fun. It's like, just like tonight when we do Stitch and Chat. You know, we never stop at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock ever.
Right.
You know, we just get going. Next thing, the hour's over, and it's like, just fun. So
yeah, it is, and it's always fun to see, you know, the comments going through.
Right.
People are chatting about, and then to see what you're working on or Jennifer's working on. Generally, we don't get a ton of Jennifer. Always gets a lot of stitching done.
I know.
You and I don't get nearly as much done.
She's the smart one of the three.
Yeah. She's like, she's just happily stitching away. La da 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 da.
And she posted the other day some spinning she was doing. Did we know she spun?
No, I wanted to ask you about that. Did you?
Okay,
know she
I'm
spun?
Not nuts. I'm not nuts. I did not know that she spun, and I thought, well, I must have missed something. So now tonight we got Jennifer. We got a C. Mm-hmm. Your stuff. She's amazing.
She is.
I didn't know she did that. And then she had this, what is it? Rover? What is that stuff?
Roving.
Roving.
What it is.
Yes. Yeah. Rover. Yeah. I'm going to go with Rover. But that was dyed in different colors, and then she was manipulating it and getting purple out of it. And wow.
I know. And that amazes me, because I've watched people spin, and I know it's a tension issue, but it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And that we were talking to that was the lady who everyone used to spin because cloth was so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who that was, but it always makes me think of that. There was a time when you and I would have known how to spin. We would have needed to make clothes.
Right.
And now it's just one of those amazing art forms.
Yeah.
I love seeing people. I love watching people spin.
Yep. Well, we're going to hold Jennifer's feet to the fire tonight. We're going to see just what, if nothing else, what she's been spinning. I did not know she did that. So, all right.
No.
Okay, I'm not nuts then. I didn't miss something. If you didn't know and I didn't know, then we didn't know. Okay.
No, she just didn't tell us. Keeping secrets, Jennifer.
All right, all right. So we got to see that, Jennifer. I'll, mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Yep. So anyway, yeah, it's they're all of them fun shows to do, but a break is in order. A break is in order.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. All right. That's going to be it.
All right. I'll see you tonight.
So. Okay. Thanks to everyone for listening, and whatever your holiday is, happy holidays, and Beth and I, it's Merry Christmas, so Merry Christmas to all who do that.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yep. And we'll be on tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, on the Fiber Talk YouTube channel. And that'll be it. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.